Have you ever tried to fumble your way through a dark, unfamiliar room? When we were new to this facility, I was new to this building. I remember rushing through the commons just below us, and it was pitch black. I was moving a little too quickly, and I hit a table right on my thigh. I had a thigh contusion. That makes it sound more dramatic. And it wasn't one of those Mighty Light tables, you know, the ones that weigh like a feather. It was one of those old school petrified wood, weighs 150 pounds table. It's extremely painful. Jesus came into our world as the true light to illumine our world and our lives. Like, that's what the Christmas season reminds us of. The Christmas season reminds us that Jesus came as the true light. He had to come as the true light because our world and our lives are very dark. Light is a metaphor that's used all throughout the scriptures that describes the spiritual realities. Light illumines. Light brings life. And what we're to be reminded of during this Christmas season is that Jesus does those things for us spiritually. That Jesus illumines our dark world. Jesus brings life to our lives. And he does that through his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus shines light into dark places. That's what we're reminded of this Christmas season, all throughout the New Testament. A passage we're going to read this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says it this way: "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." See, apart from Jesus, we're left groping in the dark. That's what we see from the passage. We're left in darkness. We can't find our way about. It's like walking through that unfamiliar dark room, trying not to kill yourself. It is a precarious situation to be in. We're in the dark because ultimately, on the one hand, we choose to walk our own way. Like, we're in darkness, it says in verse 3, because we're rebels. Like, at heart, at the core of who we are, we want life on our own terms and in our own way. And so because of that, we find ourselves estranged from God. We were created to live with him. We were created to be in relationship with him. We were created to live in harmony with one another. And yet, because of the introduction of what the scriptures call sin, Genesis chapter 3, rebellion has followed after it every step of the way. And so that's us. We're born into this world actively rebelling against God, at times passively rebelling against God. I care so little about you that I'm not even going to put any thought to it. Like, that's the indifference that you and I often experience. And because of that, we can't see him for who he is. We have this dark cloud around us that causes us to not be able to see him. Our lives are set apart from the Lord, and we live in this broken reality. But we also walk around, groping around in the dark apart from Jesus, because there is a real enemy. Just like we see in Genesis chapter 3, there is an enemy of God who hates you. He despises you because he despises God. He doesn't want you to experience life, and so he is glad to keep you in the dark, to do all he can to deceive you. He's been a deceiver since the beginning, Genesis chapter 3. And he continues to do that work. And as he deceives, he blinds us. He leaves us in the dark. He doesn't want you to experience life. That's why he blinds you. That's why he leaves you in the dark. He hates you because he hates God. But Jesus shines light in dark places. That's what we remind ourselves at Christmas. Jesus is the true light who has come into the world to illumine our world and our lives. He shines light in dark places. I mean, that's what we see as the passage concludes. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, this passage reminds us of those great Christmas realities. That Jesus is the true light who was born into this world. That's what we remember. That's what we celebrate. Jesus is the true light. And Christmas reminds us of that. So Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. How is that light shone? Verse 5. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. A child is born. How does this true and great light come into our world? A child is born. A son is given. Like in that, we're reminded that the heart of the Christmas story is a grace gift from God. The message of the gospel is so good news, such good news, because what it tells us is we are so absolutely blinded and in the dark that we can do nothing to rescue ourselves. That didn't sound very good. But the good news is that he did something about it. He sent his one and only son. And so the message is not clean yourself up, get yourself together, clean up your act, and then you can make yourself acceptable before God. It's no, he's given you this grace gift in Jesus. A child is born, a son is given. All you have to do is receive him. Receive him by faith. You don't earn him. There's nothing you can do to measure up and prove that you're worthy of him. All that you have to do is admit that you've got nothing to bring to the table. Receive him by faith. One author has, though, said that the problem for us, because we live in this darkened place and we tend to be rebels and we want to do our own thing, some gifts are hard to receive. Christmas morning, you open up a gift and it's a dieting book. And there's a note. This has meant so much to me, I thought you would appreciate it as well. Message received, fatty. Like, you need a diet. Like, we get it. Or it's like, so there's this, some gifts are hard to receive. And that's the way it is with Jesus at times. Because we want to go our own way, we want to do our own thing, we have this tendency to swell up in pride. And instead of humbling ourselves and receiving this free gift of Jesus, all we have to do is admit our sin. And yet that's a tough pill to swallow sometimes, isn't it? And yet that's all that the Lord asks of us, to receive this gift of grace in Jesus. That we would agree with him. That yes, we are in the dark, we live our own way, we do as we please, and we could care one iota about anyone else around us, including God himself. That's who I am at the core, the real me. And I need to turn from that and instead embrace Jesus. And so we can receive this grace gift from God if we'll swallow our pride and we'll receive. I mean, the wonder of Christmas is that we've been given this invitation to receive this gift of Jesus. That's the wonder of Christmas. The Christmas story reminds us that it doesn't end in a manger. Like, that's not the height of the story of Jesus. The height of the story of Jesus is that he not only lived a life in our place that we should live, but he also died a death in our place that we deserved. Yet, if by faith we trust him, we don't have to receive that. We can receive his grace gift and have eternal life. I mean, what irony You can have life because of his death. And ultimately, he's raised from the dead, showing himself to be all that he claimed and all that we have to do to enter into his family, to become part of his people, his kingdom, is to receive him by faith. I mean, that's the invitation for you tonight. Maybe you're here and you haven't taken that step and received Jesus by faith. Like, this is a moment and an opportunity to do just that. Like, don't leave this place only thinking about the cute faces and songs that were sung. That was great. It was. I hope you got pictures and cameras out. But might this be a moment of opportunity for us to soberly reflect upon the true meaning of Christmas, and that is that Jesus has been given to us as a grace gift. A child was born, a son has been given. And for those of us who know Jesus, we need to remember this, that Jesus was the true light who had come into the world, and he continues to illumine this dark world through his people. Like, he wants to use ordinary, everyday folk like you and me to bring light to dark places. Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. This is Jesus speaking. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus continues to shine light into this dark world, and he does that through his people. And so the people of God are called to live after Jesus, graciously pointing people, men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus, the grace gift who was given to us, that through him we might find life. We're to live for his mission. We're to remember that in the Christmas story, because Jesus is the great light who has come into the world, who has dawned into the world, Isaiah 9:2, that he is the great missionary and his people are to follow in his footsteps. And so at Life Connection, one of our habits, our practices, is to end every service with the Lord's Supper. Because the Lord's Supper is a reminder to us, until Jesus returns, that he is God's great grace gift given to us. It's a reminder of bad news. Like, his body had to be broken and his blood had to be shed because you are that messed up. There was no other way, no other means possible. But the good news is that by faith, you can come and receive him. You take that bread that represents his broken body, and you dip it in the cup which represents his shed blood. And as you eat, you remember Jesus. Like, on the cross, the great light of the world was not snuffed out. He plunged into the darkness to rescue and redeem. And so as we worship tonight, as we close out and we continue to think on Jesus as we head towards Christmas, we are reminded of his great grace gift to us. So undeserving, so unearned, and yet because of his love and his mercy and his kindness, he gave himself up. He had to die, yes, but he was glad to do so because of his love and his mercy and his kindness. Jesus shines light in dark places. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent the Word, your Son, Jesus, to live among us, to live a life that we can't because of sin, to die a death in our place that we deserve, and yet by faith and trust in Jesus, we can experience life. That we can be raised to new life, just like Jesus was raised out of that tomb. And so God, might in this moment, we come out of the darkness and we see Jesus as the true light. We experience the hope and joy and peace and love that's found in him. And as we head towards Christmas, might we be reminded of this great grace gift that's given to us. A child is born, a son is given. Amen.